I'd like to remind everyone, today we acknowledge Trinity Sunday. It's usually, typically, the first Sunday after Pentecost Sunday. And today's gospel reading, which I read earlier, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, is the conclusion of Matthew's gospel. It is the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It is the very end and final verses. And the focus of my message today will be directed to the final three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20. This is where Jesus gives what is known today as the Great Commission. In my native tongue, Great Commission is translated to Fekaulahi. The Oxford Languages Dictionary has eight entries for the word commission, eight different variables, eight different possibilities of using the word commission, five nouns and three verbs for this one word, commission. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations and thoughts of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Now let us jump back to the morning of the resurrection, Easter morning. The 28th chapter of Matthew opens with Mary Magdalene arriving at the tomb. And let's listen for what transpired. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." The angel said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him." So here we are in Galilee. In today's scripture reading, Jesus is now reunited with the 11 disciples. Remember, Judas is no longer a part of the group. And in verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." A bold declaration. A powerful declaration that serves as the footing of the Great Commission. Without this declaration in verse 18, verses 19 and 20 would be empty. They would have no meaning. The remainder of the commission rests on the opening declaration that Jesus makes in verse 18. Jesus does, in fact, and has possessed omnipotent power that has been displayed in all the miracles leading up to his arrest, crucifixion. But now he tells the disciples that he has authority over that omnipotent power. The authority we are speaking of today does not have boundaries or jurisdictions. The authority we are speaking of today does not have to pass through the House and Senate. It does not require instant replay for a final ruling. There is one word that describes this authority: all. All authority. And to make it even clearer, to make it even more understandable, if Jesus has all authority, nobody else has any. The scripture lesson for today touches on the domain of this authority, on the realm of this authority. This authority extends to heaven and earth. If all of this is true, how does it all tie together? How does it all mesh with what is going on in the world today, the world in which you and I live? The world where there is a war in Ukraine. The world where there is poverty. The world where there are problems with drugs. A world where there is gun violence. A world where there is exponential increase in suicides. Can it get more disheartening than that? How does it all tie together? All the authority Jesus has. Brothers and sisters, I stand here before you today to offer caution, to offer warning. Do not put into question the declaration that Jesus makes based on what we hear in the news, based on what we see on social media, based on whatever outlets of information you may be consuming. The proof that makes this declaration absolutely true is that Jesus lived to make this declaration. He rose from the dead to make this declaration. The risen Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and right here on this earth. We must believe in this declaration. We must believe it. And at the same time, we must be obedient to the commission given in verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We have all heard the phrase, "It takes one to know one." Pertaining to verse 19, I believe it fitting to say, it takes one to make one. The fundamental backbone of the Great Commission is to make disciples, to go and make disciples. Throughout the time of Jesus, for instance, a disciple would follow a rabbi to be with him, to learn from him. And over time, the disciple would become more like the rabbi. It takes a faithful disciple to make a faithful disciple. An elderly mother and her adult daughter were on the direct flight from Denver to Honolulu. This is a 7.5-hour long flight. Now the time had come for the daughter and mother to board their flight. And as the two approach their seats, the daughter looks ahead, locates their row, and notices there's a man sitting in the window seat. So the mother takes her seat in the middle. Daughter takes her seat in the aisle, as it's a three-seat row. As they were each respectively assigned. And as the flight gets underway, the daughter notices that her mother has struck up a conversation with the man seated near the window. The daughter silently thinks to herself, oh no, here we go. You see, what I have yet to tell you is that the daughter is a pastor, and her mother is a devout follower. And when I say devout, I mean she literally wears her faith on her sleeve. Quick to happily entertain a discussion about religion, and had many times before proven to possess and have the willingness to display more evangelical zeal than her own daughter, a pastor. The man next to the window was a retired lawyer. Shortly after the conversation between the man and the mother started, the elderly mother inserted the name of Jesus into their dialogue. Not even 60 seconds later, the man pulls up a newspaper, unfolds it, holds it up, essentially blocking any view of his face and essentially slamming the door in the face of the mother. 20 minutes later, the newspaper comes down. The elderly mother jumps right back to where she left off. Again, not long after, the newspaper comes back up. This goes on 4 or 5 more times. And at this point, the pastor, the daughter, felt so bad, even a little bit ashamed for her mother. But she knows that to attempt to stop her mother from being who she is would not only be unfair, but would be a practice in futility. At one point, the elderly mother excused herself to the ladies' room. That is when the man looked over to the daughter and said, "Your mother is an amazing woman." You see, the gospel has that ability to soften the hardest of hearts. And in this case, by the time the flight had landed in Honolulu, the man was on the edge of his seat, ingesting, consuming every word from the elderly mother. A pleasant facial expression, a kind giving of way, words of encouragement, sharing your testimony, praying with the coworker who is in need of prayer. These things are just a few things that you and I, as disciples, may offer those people whose lives you and I have been commissioned to make disciples. This is one of the incredibly great gifts of being accepting of this commission. What is the great gift? The great gift is the promise in verse 20 that Jesus will be with you always, to the end of the age. being mindful of the promise that we are given in verse 20, we must also be mindful that for the Great Commission, Jesus used 11 sinful, 11 weak, 11 very limited. And verse 17 says some were even doubtful to initiate this commission. Does that sound like someone you would know? Yeah. Sounds a lot like you and I. Who is up for the task? Who is ready? Brothers and sisters, we've been given our marching orders. Amen.